exactly what we see. How many of y'all see some churches just like that? Okay. Now, it's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but it's so cookie cutter, and sometimes we have a tendency to speak in a way and to do some things that draw people away and push people away from the gospel of Christ. Because Christ, when he spoke, he was so simple. He was so relevant. He talked in words that we could all understand. So we want to talk about what is the church. Say, what is the church? Now, of course, this is actually what they showed us, how a lot of people see church. Now, we did some studying on the word church, and I picked the verse Psalm 133 and 1 for a particular reason, because it is this thing that we hear when people talk about, let's go to church, you know, because, you know, we should go to church because we should be able to dwell together. The Bible says that we should dwell together. Look at this. Real good. I'm going to read it to you one more time. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Does that say church? It didn't say church anywhere in there, does it? Matter of fact, ironically, this verse is actually in the Old Testament. The word church is never used in the Old Testament. The word church is used 79 times in the Bible, but none of them are referring to the Old Testament. Now, when we look at the New Testament, then in the 79 times that it appears, there's actually a Greek word. Now, the thing that's different about this is that this particular word is used every single time they mention church. Now, that's usually not the case. Sometimes, like when we call it the love church, well, there's a lot of different ways that the word love is referenced in the Bible. Some people, you know, call it the agape love or the phileo love or eros love. I mean, there's a lot of different types of love in the Bible. But when it talks about church, it uses one word, ecclesia, which is almost like the Spanish word for church. It's kind of weird. So you say, well, what is church? Is it, some people talk about the church building. You know, we're going to church. And we talk about church being a noun. Well, noun is a person, a place, or a thing. Now, the weird thing is that church is kind of all of them, right? It could be a place. We're going to church. It could be a person. We are the church. Say, we're the church. I can't hear y'all. Say, we're the church.
We're the church.
So, and it could be something that you're having. We're going to have church, a thing. Ironically, that word, now there's not many words from a Greek or even Hebrew perspective that mean literally different things. Usually it's one particular word for one thing. Now here, it's actually broken up. It can mean you're going to a church building. It can mean you are the church people. It can mean the service that you're having. So if someone says, you know, church is me, they're right. If they say, you know, church is about the building, they're right. If they say church is about the service, they're right. All of those things are right. So don't argue with them. The Bible says we should agree with the adversary quickly. Say quickly. Now, we want to keep with our COPS theme, C-O-P-S, Christians on Purpose. Remember the double entendre dealing with our great police officers here. And one of the things that we want to equate church to and the reason for church, we talked about what church really is. Now let's talk about why is it even here? What is it used for? Well, if we want to talk about what it's used for and we want to deal with COPS, Christian on Purpose, and dealing with our police officers, one thing comes to mind, and that is the training facility, their training academy. We call it the police academy. Y'all familiar with the police academy? Now, when I talk to police officers about the police academy, I always ask them, I've been asking them all week, actually a couple weeks, tell me what goes on at the police academy. Now, of course, they can only tell me so much, right? But you know me, I pry for more information as much as I possibly can. And I asked him, I said, so what kind of things do you learn? What really goes on there? I mean, just talk to me. Be straight up with me. And so they'll be straight up with me. And they said, one of the things that we learn are laws. I said, really, what kind of laws? They said, well, we learn not only about the federal law and the state law, you know, but we also have to learn about city ordinances, those things that are particular to your area, because they are going to be held accountable to be able to enforce those laws and rules and regulations. Matter of fact, we don't even, the term bad cop would not exist if these laws, policies, and procedures didn't exist, right? Because for them to be a bad cop, they would have to be breaking the law, right? Well, How does that equate to church, to us, to what we are supposed to be doing, the purpose of church to begin with? Well, we can have a book full of laws and rules and regulations as well. A book for governing our lives. Y'all know what that book is called? That book is called a Bible. So just like they have to study these rules and regulations, I want you to think about it. Let's be real honest. If you have a cop that doesn't know the law, you're going to call him stupid, aren't you? I'm going to be, in the spirit of honesty, a long time ago, we were staging a protest. And we were staging a protest, and we were out there, and we had our bullhorns out there, and the police rolled up, and they said, "Sir, you guys are going to have to vacate these premises." And we said, "You know what? Here's the deal. Number one, we're on the sidewalk. That's public property. We're not violating any city ordinance by staying on this sidewalk. Number two, these bullhorns are set at a decibel that is legal within the law. I will show that to you. If you want to look that law up, I can tell you exactly where it is." And the cop said, "Well, we'll need to go back and look that up." And they got in their car and drove off. Did that make them seem like intelligent cops? No. Well, if the Bible has all the answers for our life, what does it make us seem like when one of our coworkers needs an answer, or our spouse needs an answer, our wife is having a bad day, our husband got fired, and we don't have the answer? We've got to study that rule book just the same way they study their rule book. Amen? The next thing they have to learn how to use the weapons. If y'all remember from week one of this series, we talked about all the weapons on those belts. So not only do they have to use the main one, when we think about the gun, and learn how to shoot and qualify shooting very well, but they've got to learn how to use all of those weapons, how to use the club, how to use the taser. You don't just learn how to use the taser. I actually went to a demonstration and they were showing us how this taser works. Well, it's not straightforward. There's even something that they have to say. Matter of fact, if you watch the Lego, y'all remember the Lego thing we had last week, right? When the little Lego guy went to tase the other fellow, he said, "Taser, taser," and then he shot it. If you'll notice that those cops, those police officers, they'll do the same thing. So there's policies and procedures that are around the weapons that they utilize, and they have to qualify with those weapons. As Christians, we need to be the same way. See, this weapon, the Bible talks about it being sharper than a two-edged sword. And this is one of the places that we go to learn about it, but it doesn't stop here. Study that Bible when you get to the house. If you've never read the Bible before, and that's okay. At some point, none of us had read the Bible before. So don't let anybody sit and tell you that you're something, you know, or you're nothing because you haven't read the whole Bible. I know preachers hadn't read the whole Bible. Amen? Start with Proverbs. Just start with Proverbs and start reading. You read one chapter a day. You don't have to read the whole Bible in a day. Just read one chapter a day. And if you have a question, you don't know where to go, call one of those grown Christians who should have the answer because they went to the academy, amen? And if they don't, call another one. That might be a bad cop. Might not know the rules and regulations. Call somebody else. But you have to learn how to use this two-edged sword. That's what the Bible calls the Bible. That's what God says. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it is a very powerful thing. You want to make sure that you don't miss it. Use that. See, because you can misuse it. You can hurt somebody with the word. You can, if you know enough of this word, you can kill somebody with it. You can make them go and kill themselves because you can use that word just like you can use a gun improperly, just like you can use a billy club improperly. You can use the word improperly and hurt some people. So in church is one of the ways we find out how to use this weapon that we have. The weapon is not for all of our brothers and sisters. The weapon is for the enemy. So don't aim it at them. Amen. Don't aim it at your brothers and sisters. The next thing that they learn is how to deal with hostile situations. Now, to be honest with you, when I hear that they learn how to deal with hostile situations, I thought that they just meant, you know, I learned how to throw a punch, or I learned, you know, a certain move to put them to sleep. So I'm like, show me the move to put somebody to sleep. I want that. It's like, hold on, we can't. No, Pastor Wash, it's not all about that. It's not all about just putting somebody to sleep. Last week, we talked a little bit, about speaking and how important speaking is and how important negotiation is. When they get into a hostile situation, they have to assess the situation first. They're actually taught situational assessment. What do you do when you show up on the scene? Because think about it. When you need help, when you need a police officer, things are in chaos. Something is going wrong. Somebody broke in your house. Somebody stole your car. There's some people that are fighting. Somebody has been shot. Something is going on and it's not good. Usually we don't dial 911 just to chat. 911, can I help you? Yeah, you know, I wasn't doing nothing. I just thought I'd give you a call. You all right up there? Yeah, you getting a lot of calls tonight? Busy? Yeah, no, I'm just chilling. No, I don't have an emergency or anything. Nothing like that. I'm just chilling. I got time. You know, my show doesn't come on for another 15 minutes. I figured I'll just call you, you know. You're not doing that. You make a phone call. Hey, I need some help, please. Somebody got shot. Somebody's in my house. They're in my house right now. I need help right now. One of the complaints that we have about the police is that they don't show up quick enough. We need help right now. So when they step into the situation, they step into chaos. The only reason that you're calling them is that chaos is going on. Something is wrong. As Christians, the only reason people are going to call you is that chaos is going on. Something is wrong. They don't call you when something's right. So here's how you learn how to deal with those situations. What do you do when someone called you and said, I'm getting ready to kill myself? What do you do when somebody calls you and said, girl, I'm finna get a divorce from my husband? What do you do? If you've been a Christian for longer than 15 minutes and people who see you know that you're a Christian, they will stay away from you until trouble happens, and then all of a sudden, they flock to you, don't they? You can be at work, and you know, you got to be discreet these days. You just got your Bible in the corner, you know, you can't go all out in the middle of the open saying some stuff. But people know you're a Christian, and no one acknowledges anything, but the moment tragedy strikes, I remember I was at work one time and someone died while they were there at work. Literally died right there. People made a beeline. It wasn't Dwayne anymore, Pastor Washington. Can you say something? The people are hurting, can you say something? Is it something you could say? Is it something you could do? Well, nothing I can say and do is going to bring this person back. Well, what does the word say about it? So you got to make sure that you're with this word and you've read this word enough that you can be able to decipher situations. This is where you learn it. That's what the church is for. It's not for the hooping and hollering and all of that stuff. If you do that, that's fine. I'm not finna come down on you. If that's what you want, that's what you love, man, I'm with you. Do whatever it takes. God knows I do whatever it takes to be able to get a word into you. I will dress up like a duck if it'll make you get the word. It doesn't make a difference. Last year, I was dressed like a prisoner and took clothes off in the middle of a sermon. The time before that, I was dressed up like a cop. I will do whatever it takes. Today, I had to con 3 people into giving me some Starbucks stuff. It don't matter. I will do whatever it takes. So whatever it takes for you to get this word, do that. But let me tell you something. It's not about the Starbucks cup. It's not about the smock. It ain't about none of that. It's not even about all the other stuff. It's about you being able to learn this word and have a relationship with Christ. That's what it's about, because that's going to change your life. Now, you know what? There is another thing that I think, I can't prove this and no police officer will agree with me, but I promise you there's a class somewhere on the intimidating look. I promise. And every state trooper has to be able to take that class. Have y'all seen that? State troopers that get out the car with that hat and those glasses and they run up on you and they just got that look like you turn into 6 years old all of a sudden. And you just get scared all of a sudden, and they give you that look like you did something wrong. And you're scared, you know. You know exactly where your license are. You know exactly, you know, the stuff in your glove compartment. But all of a sudden now you're fumbling because of that intimidating look, you know. And so I've asked police officers, I said, you know, where does that look come from? They said, well, we don't have a class on that look. You know, I said, where does that come from? He said, that just comes from them. They made that up. And so I think about some Christians, you know, sometimes you ask people, you know, hey, how you doing? Well, I'm blessed, highly favored. What does that mean? I've been walking with the Lord all day. You've been walking with the Lord
all day. And you left him to come over here with me. Seriously. That's who you've been walking with all day. All day.
See, here's the benefit. See, I done read this Bible, know it very well, to study it backwards and forwards in all different types of language. I've read things that are not even canonized and not even in the Bible. I've read the Apocrypha and the whole nine. So if you want to go toe-to-toe, I can, but I just don't. But the Bible says, you know what? Moses just had him full. Just seen the backside of him turn his hair white, and you would still seem black. I'm trying to figure that out. You've been walking with him all day. All day. What kind of shoes did he wear? You know? Was it Nikes? What size feet? I'm trying to figure it out. So Christians, they'll say some crazy stuff and they get these looks on their faces. Sometimes I'm blessed. Really? See, like I said, I don't get into these conversations anymore, but for the sake of love, church, the word blessed actually means happy. That's what it means. I mean, that's all it means. It's nothing weird. Just like everybody says, amen, amen means I agree. Blessed means happy. So if you blessed, that means you happy. And if you're saying I'm blessed with your lips all crazy, that don't fit. But we do this, right? We have this intimidating look that God didn't give us. We just made that up. Amen. The thing that really gets me though with police officers is that we're able to tell a police officer from far off because of his uniform. Because of his uniform, we're able to tell that there's something behind that. We didn't see his credentials. We don't even see sometimes his badge number. Sometimes we're so far away, we can't even see the badge. But because of the uniform, we know what you've been through. We know that you've been through the academy, that you've been tried in the fire, that even though I don't see it, you probably got some weapons on you right now. And if anybody gets to acting up, you can handle the problem. They know that from afar off. Now, I will say this. Now, I don't know how. I wish I could tell you how. But when you start walking in this Bible, people will know. If you go to work and tell people you're a Christian and they go, really? You? Seriously? If you do that, you might need to spend some more time learning this stuff. Because here's the deal. When you walk in it right, I was walking out at Main Street today. I was out this morning walking across the street trying to come. I tell you, the first people turned me down. So I went to the second place. Don't give up. That'll preach right there. So I went to the second place. In the first place, they shut me down, said, you've got to be certified to do that. But I didn't believe that. I know God said that I will be able to do some things, to be able to get some things through to his people. So I kept persevering, walked to the next spot. When I walked to the next spot, before I walked in, a man on the street, as I was walking across the street, he was across the street. He said, are you a pastor? I said, good God Almighty. What in the world told you that? I hadn't preached a sermon. I hadn't did anything. When you start living this word for real, folks will know. They will really know. One of the most important things that I want to teach you, and I probably shouldn't say this statement, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you like they told me. They have a class they call, how should we put it? Verbal judo. And they learn how to talk and how to negotiate. This is in the academy. This is what they learn. How to negotiate with people and how to be able to take a situation and fix it before it gets bad. They get all of that stuff. Before it gets too messed up, before you have to throw a punch, before you have to touch your gun, before you even have to think about getting a taser, there's something that's more powerful than all that that's able to defuse the situation, and it's so important that they have a whole course on it. How to wrestle with words. You don't get as dirty wrestling with words. You don't get as tired wrestling with words. You know, this Bible teaches us the same thing. It says, you know what, this tongue that we have is, it talks about how sharp it's able to give life and it's able to give death. And if you had a tongue longer than 15 minutes, you spoke life and you spoke death. If you've had anybody talk to you longer than 8 minutes, somebody spoke life into you and somebody spoke death into you. Use it to speak life. Here at the Love Church, one of the things I want to make sure that you're doing is that you're speaking life with your tongue. The Bible says a kind answer will turn turn away wrath? Are you doing that with your children when they act the fool? Are you doing that with your wife when you become frustrated? We all mess up. I know I mess up. Last night, when I was putting the finishing touches on this sermon, my son did something and it just made me upset. Actually, it didn't make me upset. I made myself upset. And I just lost it. I did. And my tongue was not speaking love, and my wife reminded me. I came back in the room. She said, there was no love in that. You know what I said? And I was still mad. I ain't gonna lie. You're right. There was no love in that. We've got to be able to catch those situations and make them far and few between. Amen. So in closing, if we want to talk about what today is all about, what is the church? I'm not so much concerned with the church building. I'm not concerned with the service, really. I'm concerned with you. You are the church. You're the people that God is coming back for. It's you. Next week will be our last week on our COPS series, and we're dealing with the whole body of Christ. I want you to come and hear about that, because it's going to be presented maybe in a way you hadn't heard before. I want to make sure that you are looking at this Bible, coming to this place, and not just sitting here, but learning what you need to learn so that you can execute outside those front doors. Amen. That's my time today. I thank you so much for coming to the Love Church.